This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Yes, it's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Class is in session. So much to learn about. But first, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Jess, how are you two doing? Johnny.
Doing all right, Tim. You know, it's been insanely busy. We had the election week, then, you know, full swing hockey coach here, teacher. So classes in session, when classes in session this time of year. So, you know, it's great to be here with you both. Awesome. To be listening to some of the shows I couldn't be a part of. So it's always fun to be a listener on the outside. Hey, listeners, if you're thinking, hey, I want to be part of that conversation because I'm always a listener from the outside when Tim, Johnny, and Jess chop it up with all their great guests. Hey, you can give us a call, leave us a message, and we'll bring you into the conversation. Call us or text us at 608-557-8577 and bust some pencils with us. Tim, Johnny here, fully leaded education talk. So, Tim, I'm doing all right. Jess, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. You might be able to hear in my voice. I'm still getting over one of those passing colds. But it's so good to see you, Johnny. I missed you last week, man. But I know we've all got busy schedules. And just coming off of that election week, everything was just...
And you know...
Good to be here. Good to be in class. Let's get learning.
Let's start doing some learning here. And yeah, again, back in classes in session. So lots going on. But Johnny, you know, when we used to do the live show, we used to do a little civics 101 lesson.
Sure did.
And I was just thinking for a classes in session, you know, no guests. It's just the three of us today. We've got this opportunity to do a little bit of teaching while class is in session and putting it into the kind of current events that are happening. Well, guess what? Yes. No, we're not going to talk about the Electoral College. We're not going to talk about the election. We're going to talk about the results of the election and the implications now going forward, because if you've been paying attention to the news, and I tell that to you, Johnny, you, Jess, and you, the listener out there, you now know that, yes, it is true that we now have President-elect Trump. It's happening, and that's already done deal. History moving on. He is now in the process of picking his cabinet. And as my son said, you know, when he was younger, why do presidents need cabinets? Aren't there any in the White House already?
Seriously.
You know, he was really looking at the literal sense of that. No, not that cabinet, but these advisors. And so President Trump now has been putting forward names over the past week of some people who are going to serve in his cabinet as his secretaries. And I thought, you know what? Classes in session, we should be talking about this whole process of, now that the president-elect, they get to pick a cabinet. Why do they get to pick a cabinet? Who are these people? Are there rules? Because people are wondering, you know, geez, what does it take to be on the cabinet? Well, that could be a different answer than what it takes to be picked to be nominated. But we're doing this and going forward. And so what a great time to talk about, hey, president picks cabinets. How do they do it? And no, they don't go to Lowe's or Home Depot. They actually go into their Rolodex, if they still have that, or their iPhones, and they start asking. Just made that look like Rolodex. Who says that, Tim? You're too old. Oh, I know.
Oh, man. You can see my funny facial reactions to what they say if you watch our videos on Facebook and YouTube under Civic Media, in addition to our podcasts dropping on Spotify, Apple, and of course the Civic Media webpage. Our videos, when Tim's internet doesn't totally crap out, those videos get posted at the same time as our podcasts.
Yes. Yeah, there we go. Look at Johnny. Okay, so cabinet picks. So we've heard of it. Johnny, jump.
Social studies 101.
Yeah.
I'm going to back up just a little bit.
Okay.
Because this is actually really fun thing that we review all the time. Actually, we just reviewed it last week in social studies education class. So an actual physical, real in-person class where teachers are learning how to teach social studies to elementary teachers. we did sort of like this. So I'm glad we're having this content conversation today. 101, back up.
All right.
What, like, I love what you said. We start talking cabinets because immediately I do think about cabinets in my kitchen. And like, I think about, you know, cabinets that you pick out, you design and all that. And it's not that different because cabinets serve a function.
Okay.
Right. In our house, like they store things and they're not necessarily in charge, but what are the, like, let's back up. What are the cabinets? Let's talk about what are the branches of government? We won't go into all of it.
No.
101, cabinets are members of the executive branch of government, right? Mm-hmm. So let's talk the executive branch of government. How many cabinets are there in the executive branch of government? Tim or Jess, how many cabinets?
Oh my goodness, Johnny, you
cabinets
got me
or stumped. Cabinet members?
Well, cabinet members, not cabinets in their house. I just like to call them cabinets because,
is it,
you know,
16?
One's a cupboard.
No. Okay.
What do you think?
I think 16.
I don't know the answer to this one, Johnny Lupinacci. So,
okay. So,
learn me something, man.
They're just as close, right? So, there are 15 executive departments.
So close.
So, there are 15 people, right, who are essentially appointed. And this gets to, I think, where Tim was. Like I'm like the tutor for 101, right? I'm like, hold on. Some people in the room, including me, the first time we have this discussion, might not exactly quite know what a cabinet member is.
Okay. So
15 executive departments, right? That's in the executive branch of government. Essentially, the head of the executive branch of government is the president of the United States, right? So, and they're the head, right? So they're the head of the executive branch of government, but each, they get to appoint each member to carry out the day-to-day administration of the federal government, right? So there are 15, right, in that. So 15 executive departments. Should I say what they are, or should we just get into this?
Let's talk. Okay, so we got 15, but we're saying, I really like the two, Johnny, the 101 part that you brought this back to, again, locating it within that question, or we say, what are the three branches of government? It's a classic civics question that you know, they'd ask you on the street and you'd sit there and go, oh my God, I forgot. Well, as you said, Johnny, the executive is one of those branches, the legislative and the judicial. And now with a new president in the executive branch, he now, of course, can't do everything all by himself in the executive branch. He needs to now bring on his cabinet, or they say his advisors that are going to be there, 15 of them. And, you know, we're going to use the Department of Education as our illustration on this one to kind of talk about it. But Johnny, the question now, as some of the nominees that came out last week, the comments are coming out going, well, my goodness, do you need to have any qualifications? I mean, what's the reality of what it takes to be, and I'm going to phrase this question, what does it take to be nominated to be a cabinet member? Not what does it take to become a cabinet member, but what does it take to be nominated to be a cabinet member? Do you have to submit your resume and all of your background tests and things like that? Well, No, I mean, the answer is, it'd be nice. We would like that. But guess what? The executive, the president, he gets to pick who he wants to be nominated. He gets to nominate whoever he wants closest to there. So you say qualifications, yeah, they may or may not have them. Typically, most presidents tend to pick cabinet members that have some credentials that make us go, oh, I don't like that person, but that makes sense. Maybe. I know the one right now, we'll just get it out of the way. Yes, there's a big concern about Matt Gaetz. We're not talking about Matt Gaetz today right now, but the question put forward, President Trump had every right to nominate Matt Gaetz to be a secretary in his cabinet. Okay, the right. That was my 101 there, Johnny.
Well, that's good. That's true. And it's kind of important to note that, you know, in the Constitution, there's really nothing that says a whole lot about who can and can't be recommended by the president for one of these executive, you know, branch positions. So, yeah. Now, the caveat is, so while we're 101-ing, though, president, and again, remember, it's sort of like the boss. So the boss says, hey, we can all relate to this on the job where we're at. Remember, blue collar scholarship here. The boss says, hey, this guy's working here. I'd like this guy to work here. Well, like in theory, in the executive branch, right, in the three branches of government, the Senate has a say. So the Senate can say absolutely not, or they have to say, yeah, we approve that recommendation from the boss. And so we can kind of, with this, like, just background here, like, we know the outcome of the Senate election as well. And so we can kind of know that, like, likely people are going to go along with the boss. However, in our government, and we'll talk about this as these appointments come up, these recommendations, right? There is a civic duty of all elected representatives to uphold democracy, to represent the best interest of not only their constituents, and likely not supposed to be just who's paying them big bucks to their election campaign, but we know about that, how money influences election. But I will say, very little optimism from me about this past, the results of this election. But I'm always an optimist, right? And so I hope if we're loud enough, we organize enough, and we unify, that representatives will represent their constituency. So we see some Democrats and Republicans who say together, we stand for something different than maybe this appointment. Mm-hmm. And I do believe there is going to be a little less green lighting than typically a Senate has for a president under this election. I mean, you know, I would hope. It's hard to trust a criminal. So, you know, there probably are going to be some Republican folks in the Senate who may say, you know what, I'm not a big fan of this. We don't have sort of a majority approval of this. We'd like you to go back to the drawing board and make a different pick. That generally doesn't happen that often, but hey, we can be hopeful. And if there ever was an administration where it might be likely, at least from the position of the conversations I'm having with some of my, I wouldn't call them adversaries, but political adversaries, my Republican homies, right? It's hard to put those two words together in a sentence, but I'm working on it. I'm working on it because we have to build bridges, and my curiosity after last week was, how can I be friends? And how can I really genuinely trust some of the people I do? And here's the conflict I'm in. I do. And I know that they're not hateful people. And I know that they care for the women in their family and in their community. And I know that they're, in many cases, you know, absolutely not racist people. But yet, they supported the Trump vote. And this, to me, I could write this off and I could say, nope. You know, they're just performing when they're around me, blah, blah, blah. There could be all these reasons that still might be true. But I said, Tim, I'm going to take a deep breath and I'm going to figure it out. Like, I'm going to continue these, to build these relationships and better understand what are the politics of the people supporting this election? Because I was not only befuddled and disappointed as many, but I also believe, so now turning to some of those conversations, that some of our elected representatives will do better by democracy than maybe the head of the whole show, which is a dangerous place to be in as a country. But let's see where we end up. So, Tim, that's it. So the Senate, I just want to say,
okay,
it's not a green light completely for the president to say, I get to pick all the people who are in the cabinet. They get to recommend.
There you go.
Right. And then, but we know that recommendation generally comes with, you know, some.
There's a kind of like going like, look, we got to give him what he wants. Right. But, you know, and Jess puts in the question there, if somebody can look up the answer to that, because I'm not exactly sure. But Johnny points out the 101 that, yes, presidents nominate their cabinet members and then Senate confirms the cabinet members, which then Johnny says Senate being part of the legislative branch is then supposedly speaking the voice of the people. So the people, if we have a problem with one of the nominees, we should talk to our senators and tell our senators to support either our dismay at the nomination and or the support. That's the democracy happening that right there. That's the republic form of government. That's how it works. And so the nomination, though, is, yes, the president can nominate whoever he wants. The Senate, though, has to confirm those nominations so that they can become the secretary of blank, whatever name it is, 15 different cabinet members there, as Johnny pointed out. So the confirmation process is going to go forward. And people would say most of the time, yes, the Senate will typically do what they will green light who the president wants. The question now, though, is will there be resistance? Truly, will the Senate put up any resistance to any of these nominees? Well, I don't know if the Senate will, but maybe we can point out Jess and Johnny a little bit of the process, because, you know, there's a lot going on. One of those cabinet positions is the Secretary of Education. Now, President Trump has campaigned on getting rid of the Department of Education.
I mean, he's really campaigned on.
But until they do that, now he will need 60 votes in the Senate to actually get rid of the Department of Education in the Senate to get rid of the department. So the reality is that that's not going to happen right away. So there is going to be a Department of Education off the bat. And so who's going to be the secretary? A quick reminder of a traumatic nightmare that happened back in 2016 when Betsy DeVos, the wife of a billionaire, was made, nominated, and confirmed that she would be the Secretary of Education. Again, talk about no qualifications. There were none there, and yet that person became that. So the qualifications. I think, though, there's speculation on what's going on in education, and pretty sure that I want to put this out there. In fact, remind people again, too. Who do you think's going to be the Secretary of Education nominee? It's 608-557-8577, 608-557-8577. If you have, you know, want to put in your vote for who you think will be nominated, we're going to talk about one, because I am putting this out there for the Busted Pencil listener. I am saying that before Friday of this week, there will be a nominee. And I am saying it is going to be the state superintendent from Oklahoma, Ryan Walters. Ryan Walters will be the nominee of President Trump. Now, what will he be doing? Will he be tasked with tearing down the Department of Education? I don't know, but that is what I'm putting. My Busted Pencils prediction is that before this week ends, that Ryan Walters, the state superintendent of public instruction of the state of Oklahoma, is going to be the Secretary of Education nominee. You heard it here first. There it is. Okay. Reactions, thoughts. What do we know? Is this a person who, let's start with this first thing. If you're listening to this and you hear this, Johnny and Jess, you hear this, right? What's your first thought when you hear Ryan Walters?
Bibles in the classroom.
Yeah. Bible in the class. Yeah.
This is one screaming that we can say, like, this is not only an effort to ensure, you know, more privatization, right? The antithesis of what Jonathan Gerko, one of our guests who regularly talks about publicization, this would be a movement in the opposite direction. So DeVos was for sure privatization candidate.
Yeah.
And maybe low key, you know, a tinge of Christian nationalism. Mm-hmm. But just a tinge. This one is like insurance of continued privatization and like not a tinge, like a full dose of Christian nationalism, public education, and no separation of church and state in terms of its Christian nationalism. It's neoconservatism at its finest, you know, deregulate and strict regulations around religious beliefs instilled in those classrooms and taught via public education, which, mind you, just let me answer it, is one of the stalwarts of the founding of this country is separation of church and state. Mm. So if these are true constitutional folks, you're going against one of the premier features of the Constitution and the whole reason we had, you know, the Revolutionary War in the United States and overthrew the King of England was based on, yes, taxation and unfair taxation, but also because of a desire for religious freedoms.
Yeah. So think about that, though. Okay. So you guys are jumping a little bit ahead, though, too. You're saying, what are going to be the ramifications or the results of this person? I want to ask the first question here is, does he meet the, is he qualified? Is Ryan Walters qualified to be nominated? Now, Betsy DeVos, I said, Jess, come on.
Well, what do you say? You just told us, Tim, that yes. the only qualification that you need in order to be nominated is for the president-elect or president to tap you, to say, yeah. this is the person who I am nominating. All you need is to be on good enough terms and to have a high enough regard in that person's eyes for the president or president-elect to say, this is my nominee. That is the only requirement that you need. So, yeah, I guess, sure.
Yes. Okay. But see, I think this one, and this is why I think President-elect Trump is going to do this, because I see Ryan Walters as qualified, because this is a past history teacher. I'm pretty sure he's won awards for being a great history teacher. He's come up through the ranks. He's got that. It's like, what does he know about education? He was a principal, and then he was the state superintendent of Oklahoma. He's got the credentials of being a Secretary of Education. And if President Trump wants to avoid the this person isn't qualified, well, he doesn't have to deal with that with Ryan Walters, because Ryan Walters actually meets the qualification step. Public school teacher, award-winning teacher, administrator, and now an elected official in the state of Oklahoma who has been charged with overseeing the public education in the state of Oklahoma. The question now is, what's he been doing in Oklahoma? And what you guys are kind of putting forward there is that, man, he's been putting out a lot of interesting, I guess, policies, things that he wants to do. Let's just be honest. He's been auditioning to be the Secretary of Education under President Trump for years. This man is just, right? Okay. In fact, let's get to it right away. On Friday last week, he released what I'm calling his primetime audition videotape on YouTube that was out to the world. Jess, I think we have that audio, don't we?
We do. I do want to put just a light disclaimer on it. Just listening to it, it really does show the dangers of recording in both a physical and metaphoric echo chamber. So please don't blame me for that audio. This is what I got.
All right, let's listen.
We're excited to announce a new office here in the Oklahoma State Department of Education. That will be the Office of Religious Liberty and Patriotism. For too long in this country, we've seen the radical left attack individuals' religious liberty in our schools. We will not tolerate that in Oklahoma. Your religious liberties will be protected. We have also seen patriotism mocked and a hatred for this country pushed by woke teachers' unions. We will not tolerate that in any school in Oklahoma. We want our students to be patriotic. We want our students to love this country. And we want all students' religious liberty to be protected. I will now say a prayer. And to be clear, students, you don't have to join. But if you so wish, I'm going to go ahead and pray. Dear God, thank you for all the blessings you've given our country. I pray for our leaders to make the right decisions. I pray in particular for President Donald Trump and his team as they continue to bring about change to the country. I pray for our parents, teachers, and kids that they get the best education possible and live high quality lives. I also pray that we continue to teach love of country to our young people and that our students understand what makes America great and that they continue to love this country. Amen.
Amen. Amen. There it is. That's the the state superintendent of the state of Oklahoma, Ryan Walters, last Friday, putting this forward. Policy announcing the Office of Religious Liberties in the state of Oklahoma. And then, you know, we didn't have to join him if we didn't want to, but then giving us the ability to pray with him. All right. Was he auditioning Johnny Lupinacci to be the Secretary of Education? First question. And then second question, what do you think about what he's talking about?
Well, Tim, yes, he's not just auditioning. He's given the general public kind of a sense. These are like, you know, announcements of how he will be as you know, Secretary of Education. So there's not much of a need for audition here, but it, I would say more positioning.
Yeah.
More positioning and folks, you know, like folks who pay attention to superintendents of states and different state policies. Because remember, education is a state right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We've been paying close attention to this guy for a little while now for this very reason. But this is more of like a coming out to the nation. Like, hey, get ready because this is what I'm all about. Right. And fundamentally, I want to say like, Tim, you know, like I hear that and I'm not opposed to, hey, great. You want to pray for the well-being of, you know, of our mm-hmm. country and our leaders. That's your religious right to
your liberty.
Right. So it sounds fine. And this is a lot like what I mean when you come out, but also remembering that we have a really strict commitment and belief that is not relegated to one political party, that there is a separation of church and state. And I always get into that a little bit around like, well, you can't fully, you know, our religious beliefs are part of our cultural identities, and cultural identities are part of also what we bring into our classrooms and schools. But in a democracy and in a nation with a separation of church and state, you hold space for multiple different, like for different religious beliefs. We value religious freedom. That's the liberty piece, right? Yeah. So you can't say life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness and be like, well, only my liberty for my beliefs and what I like, my own freedoms, not other people's freedoms. We know this is a confusion of the Trump administration, right? It is not one of liberty for all. Mm-mm. It's liberty for me. Mm-mm. And so I mean, what I'm hearing is, you know, what I said at the beginning, we can expect more privatization, of course. That's stalwart of, you know, all Republican administrations and even some, to some degree, the Democrats have been a little mm-hmm. too privatizing of our education system. So more of that. And actually the largest dose we've probably had in my lifetime, right? And maybe more of, you know, a lack of religious freedom or disregard for the valuing of religious freedoms and the devaluing of liberties.
This is a Christian nationalism movement here, Johnny. You called it out earlier, and this is the way I see it. And so going back to then the nomination, if President Trump makes this nomination of Ryan Walters, then he will have to go through the process of having the Senate confirm him to become the Secretary of Education. I wanted to position this one because we've said, you know, well, what happens if you're not qualified? I think Ryan Walters makes this a very challenging type of way if we want to criticize, because the qualifications, yes, he's been a public school teacher. He's been an award-winning teacher. He's been an administrator, and he has been running the state of Oklahoma's public education system. No senator is going to find any ability to attack his, quote, qualifications. But can they bring forth a potential conflict of saying your job in enforcing public education at the state, you can't do what you did in Oklahoma, which was to say that you're going to create, and again, I think an Office of Religious Liberties, come on, let's be honest. What you're saying is that you're trying to re-embed religion back in the public schools. It's not about upholding the right of all kids to practice a religion that they want, a religion of their choice, that this is really bringing religion back in. And it's a form of some form of more of a Christian nationalism approach, and then wrapping it together, the Christian nationalists, because if you said also we're going to reestablish the teaching of patriotism and love of our country because left-wing loonies have been teaching kids to hate our country, you know, and also embedded in that is just some form of hate God and to hate religion. So I think this coming forward is going to be, well, first of all, it has to come true. Trump has to be listening to Busted Pencils, which we know he does. And he recognizes that Tim just gave him a pretty good nomination pick right there. Ryan Walters, Jess, anybody watching the video is like, oh my God, Jess is about ready to fall over on her chair and smack Tim if she could.
Jess is about ready to find some way to reach through to Ohio and go, bam.
But I see this is going to happen, and it'll be interesting, you know, when it does, to say what will be the confirmation process. Let's watch this. But Johnny, Jess, man, I tell you what, classes in session, Civics 101. Great lesson.
Yeah, great. Good lesson all the way around, and great for listeners to, you know, hear kind of the little things we pay attention to closely, not only as social studies educators, but as people who understand the political ramifications of the decisions made by the executive branch of public education, because it does matter. And both of us, Tim, kind of have a little side eye on our cameras when we hear we're gonna shut down the Department of Education. And so we're like, is that what you're appointing Ryan Walters to do?
Right. I
mean, shouldn't if? And so it'll be interesting to watch. Or was that just, you know, put that in the category of hot air with the other, you know, hateful hot air statements said? Remember, if you want to make a comment or you want to join the conversation, you have a question for us, or maybe you have a possible suggestion for a Civics 101 lesson, call us at 608-557-8577. Right? You can call and leave us a message and we'll get to that. The number again, folks, 608-557-8577. Leave us a message. We'll get to it. This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Tim, Johnny, Jess, love breaking it down. Class was in session. Whew.
Yeah, it was. And now for your moment of zen. To be hopeful in bad times is not just foolishly romantic. It is based on the fact that human history is a history not only of cruelty, but also of compassion, sacrifice, courage, and kindness. Thanks, everybody, for listening to Busted Pencils Classes in Session. Stay tuned for the Friday drop, Friday Night Lights. Yeah, you know, first downs and Friday nights, we'll be doing that. And again, too, hoping everybody's staying around for Saturday, that drop on Civic Media, the Civic Media app, a full hour of Busted Pencils every Saturday. Man, and everybody who put it out there, keep busting pencils.